Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Buddhaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Satarne. Om Agana Timanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chatur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kajamayam Dati Swapatantikam Vandeham Shigra Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigram Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagarjatam Sagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Prajna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Vitam Sha Hey Krishna Karma Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavane Shri Vrishabhana Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakapa Dhruvyasra Kripa Sindhubhye Vajra Padidhanam Bhavadevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Maha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitinanda Shadvajidhar Shivasani Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 10, The Battle Between the Demigods and Vritrasura, text number 11. Shri Bhadaraini Uvacha Evam Krita Yavasito Dhyan
Dhyan
Artavana
Artavanas
Tano
Tanam
Hare
Bhagavati
Bhagavati
Brahmani
Brahmani
Atmana
Atmana
San
Sanayan
Sanayan
Jaho
Jaho
Shri Bhadaraini Ruvacha
Shri Bhadaraini Ruvacha
Evam Krita Vyavyasito
Evam Krita Vyavyasito
Dhyanartharvanastanum
Dhyanartharvanastanum
Hare Bhagavati Brahman
Hare Bhagavati Brahman
Yatmanam Sanya Sanayam Jano
Jano
Shri Bhadaraini Ruvacha
Shri Bhadaraini Ruvacha
Evam Krita Virastito
Evam Krita Virastito
Dayanartharvanastanum
Dayanartharvanastanum
Hare Bhagavati Brahman
Hare Bhagavati Brahmani
Actually, it's there's two lines in a Sanskrit verse, in these verses, and we have something called a sandhi. That's why
instead of just like here we have Hare Bhagavati, it looks like Brahmani, but actually it's Brahmani in the original, but it turns to the Y because it's next to Atmana. And since it's only one verse, it's only one line, it's one complete line, it's just broken up to make it easier to see. So it's actually Pare Bhagavati Brahman Yatmanam Sanayan Chao. Same thing, first line. Sri Bhadarayani Ruvacha. The R and the U go together. Actually, it's Bhadarayani, but due to Sunday, it turns into an R. So then it goes with the next vowel instead of Sri Bhadarayani Ruvacha Evam Kritavya Vyastito. And then the next line is Da Dhyan Nar Tarvanas Tanum. Actually, that N is supposed to be nasalized, but that's technical. It's like instead of Da Dhyan, it's Da Dhyan. It's like in Hindi. You should feel it up here. Like Om. It should vibrate up here. So Da Dhyan Nar Tarvanas. So the next N goes with the A. Hare Bhagavati Brahman Yatmanam Sanayam Jaho. The other N is also nasalized before the J. Sri Bhadarayani Ruvacha.
Sri Bhadarayani Ruvacha.
Evam Kritavya Vyastito.
Evam Kritavya Vyastito.
Adhyan Nar Tarvanas Tanum.
Bhagavati Brahman
Yatmanam Sanayam Jaho. Making certain of what to do.
Making sense of what to do.
And giving his body to the demigods. The Dhyan. The Diti Muni. Artavana. The son of Artharva. Tanu. His body. Hooray to the Supreme. Bhagavati. Personality of Godhead. Brahmani. To the Supreme Brahman. Atmana. Himself the Spirit Soul. Sanayan. Offering. Jahao. Keva. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, the Diti Muni, the son of Atharva, thus resolved to give his body to the service of the demigods. He placed himself, the spirit soul, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this way gave up his gross material body made of five elements. Please repeat. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said.
Sri Shukadeva Goswami said.
Diti Muni.
Diti Muni.
The son of Atharva.
The son of Atharva.
Thus resolved to give his body.
Thus resolved to give his body.
To the service of the demigods.
The service of the demigods.
He placed himself. The spirit soul.
The spirit soul.
At the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
And this way gave up his gross material body.
This way gave up his gross material body.
Made of five elements.
Made of five elements.
Purport. As indicated by the words, Pare Bhagavati Brahman, Yatmanam Sanayam, the Dichi placed himself as spirit soul at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, when we refer to the incident of Dhritarashtra's leaving his body, as described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.13.55. Dhritarashtra analytically divided his gross material body into the five different elements of which it was made, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and distributed them to the different reservoirs of these elements. In other words, he merged these five elements into the original Mahatattva. Identifying his material conception of life, he gradually separated his spirit soul from the material connections and placed himself at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The example given in this connection is that when an earthen pot is broken, the small portion of the sky within the pot is united with the large sky outside the pot. Mayavadi philosophers misunderstand this description of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Sri Ramanuja Swami and his book Vedanta Tattvasara has described that this merging of the soul means that after separating himself from the material body, made of eight elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, false ego, mind, and intelligence, the individual soul engages himself in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his eternal form. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarvakarna Karna. Material cause of the material elements absorbs the material body, and the spirit soul assumes its original position. As described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vivera Srupahoy Krishnera Nityadas, the constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. When one overcomes the material body through the cultivation of spiritual knowledge and devotional service, one can revive his own position, thus engage in the service of the Lord. Sri Bhadarayani Ruvacha Evam Krita Virastito Dadayan Nartarvanastanum Pare Bhagavati Brahman Yatmanam Sanayan Jahao. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Diti Muni, the son of Atharva, thus resolved to give his body to the service of the demigods. He placed himself, the spirit soul, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this way gave up his gross material body made of five elements. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pajarane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paschatya De Siddharane. One may wonder, why is this story in the Bhagavatam? Why is suicide? People are coming to this poor Dadishi Muni, simply sitting there doing nothing, or meditating on Krishna. And they're coming here, coming to him and say, ask him to give up his body. In other words, drop dead. So that's not very nice. Could you imagine going to your sage and saying, my dear sage, can you quit your body? We'd like to use it. We want to kill someone with it. Kind of morose. Grotesque, actually. So why is such a grotesque story? After all, the demigods, they're going to use it to kill a great devotee. So here, Dadithi Muni, supposedly a great devotee of Krishna, so powerful that he was so aloof from his material concept of life, he's willing to even give up his body. But what is the whole purpose? It's to kill a great devotee. Is he implicated in karma, killing devotees like that? So what is the purpose of the story? Well, the Bhagavatam, from the very beginning, tells us that there's nothing mundane about the Bhagavatam. Obviously, this story has to do with Vritrasura going back to the spiritual world. The story actually has a happy ending. Now, for us, who are very attached to the body, the idea that someone getting their head cut off is auspicious, is not by one of the demigods, is not so easily understood. But Vritrasura was such a great devotee that he was always in meditation upon the personality of Godhead. Therefore, his quitting the body didn't mean that he died. It just means that he got out of that body and went back to the spiritual world. And in order to do that, Krishna makes arrangements so to help his devotee go back. When Pariksit Maharaj was cursed by Sringi, this was said to be an arrangement by the personality of Godhead. It wasn't that Krishna was disturbed at Maharaj Pariksit and decided to have someone come along and curse him. He wanted to bless him by getting him out of the material entanglement and sending him back to the spiritual world. It is not inauspicious to go back to the spiritual world. From our point of view, he may have been young and strong and had a nice family and everything was going well, the kingdom, he was undisputed head of the kingdom. So why didn't Krishna just leave him alone? And when he got old and worn out and he had no more material enjoyment, Krishna could have sent him back to Godhead then. But the point is, Dukhalyama Shastita, from the absolute point of view, there's nothing auspicious, even in the most auspicious material position. Therefore, they almost got me.
We're not trying to get you to lose your body.
Appropriate to the past talk. I wonder if the guy called Chandra, whoever it was. It is inauspicious, and to go back to the spiritual world, that's the only thing that's auspicious. Of course, the great personalities like Maharaj Pariksit and Vritrasura, they're always in the spiritual world. It doesn't really matter. As Lord Shiva told Parvati, that Narayana Parasa are gay. Kutasana Bhivyati, Swarga Apavarga Narakeshu, Apitu Vyarta Dharshanaha. That great personalities such as Vritrasura, whether they're always Narayana Parayana, they're always absorbed in taking shelter of Lord Narayana. Therefore, whether they're in heaven or in hell or liberated, it makes no difference. They're equal everywhere. They're equally in Krishna consciousness. So here, the Dichi, he's given an opportunity to sacrifice his body because that's what Krishna wanted. It wasn't he was sitting there and whimsically he decided, well, maybe I'll get a better body the next lifetime, or I don't really know why I'm doing this, but demigods, I'm sure, convincing. No, Krishna was in his heart. He's part of the pastime. The ability to be so detached from one's body and to meditate upon Krishna at the time of death is what great devotees pray for. Krishna, what is that? What's the King Kulakshetra's prayer?
Krishna Tvadiya,
Parapankaja Panjarantam, Tvadhaiva Vishitu, Manasa Raja Hamsa. What's the next line? Pranaya, Kapapita, Kapavatapita, Kandona Varodano, Idano, Smarnas Kutas Tute. More or less, that's something like that. That Krishna Todiya Parapankaja Panjarantam, that let my mind merge into the stem-like lotus feet of Krishna, or like lotus flowers. It's like the swan, it goes into the water and it takes milk out of the water. And sometimes it entangles itself in the lotus stem. So let my mind be entangled in the lotus feet of Krishna, and let me Krishna Tvadiya Parapankaja Panjarantam Tvadaiva Vishite Manasa Raja Hamsa, and let my today let me entangle myself completely. Pranam Pranaya Samaye Kapa Vatapitai, and let me give up my life airs, all the different elements, and go back and give up my body now that is healthy. Kanda Kandarodha Vadano Smaranas Putaste, because when my throat is choked up at the time of death, then I may not be able to chant the holy name and remember Krishna. So better I die when I'm healthy, fix my mind on Krishna, and go back to the spiritual world. In other words, those who are actually on the platform of Krishna consciousness, they think like that. That what is the sense of living in a material body? I can live in the material body if Krishna wants me to, but better I fix my mind completely upon Krishna while I'm healthy and leave the body thinking about Krishna, because that's the best opportunity to go back to the spiritual world. Sukle Krishna Gati Ete Jakata Shasate Mate Ekaya Ekinariti Anyat Vartane Punak Naiti Shriti Partijana Yogi Muya Kiti Kaschana Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Yogi Yukta Bhavarjana. Therefore, Arjuna, always be fixed. Naiti Shriti Yoga Jana. Therefore, always be fixed in this yoga process of Krishna consciousness, and therefore, it won't matter what time you leave your body. It won't matter because you'll always be in Krishna consciousness. You leave your body in Krishna consciousness, you'll still be in Krishna consciousness. Just like Narayana Muni left his body, he said, just like lightning and illumination appear simultaneously. So when he left his body, he simply manifested his spiritual body. In his mind, he was engaged in his spiritual activities, even while he was in his body. And when he left his body, he simply manifested the same spiritual body externally that he was internally engaged in his devotional service. So it made no difference. He was exactly the same person doing exactly the same things when he left his body. So that's called liberation. Now, we have our minds are absorbed in this material concept of life, and we imagine that we're doing so many things when the body's working. It's called false ego. And we're rooting for our body. Do it, go for it. You're going to become something. Yeah, you're going to become dead, but that's besides the point. But in the meantime, before you die, my dear body, become a hero. I'm rooting for you. Go for it. And when you're happy, I'm happy too. So this is called absorption, material identity. So the false ego, the mind, is saying, come on, this philosophy is too far out. This is really an insult. He's trying to separate you from this body, from your beloved object. He's trying to tell you it makes no difference whether you're a king or a pauper, whether you're successful or not. It makes no difference. But that doesn't make any sense. You don't want to be on the street. You follow him. Who knows where you're going to wind up? You may be begging on the street. Look, I'm taking care of you. You're in a good position. You're getting fed nicely. And don't knock a good thing. No, it's not that if we give up our false ego, then we're devoid of activity, devoid of identity. No, we simply recognize that the actual doer is Krishna. Krishna will always be he's always the doer. Whether we're in heaven or in hell in between, in this material world, the body is gifted by the material nature, by Krishna, according to our activity. So we become Krishna conscious. It's not that we're going to wind up in a hellish body, necessarily. Or that suddenly Krishna is not going to send us any food because we become enlightened. No, the same activities will go on. They're already going on by Krishna's grace. The spreading of the Sankirtan movement is going on by the mercy of his representatives in the self as the super soul. He's directing our wanderings. So we surrender to him, then he'll take care of everything better, not worse. And even if he puts us into great distress at Prahlad Maharaj, it won't make any difference to Prahlad Maharaj. He couldn't care less. Whether he was in boiling oil, whether he knew it was all part of Krishna's pastimes, because he wasn't really in material consciousness. He wasn't thinking, I'm boiling oil. He was watching his body. So in the oil, he was watching Krishna protecting it. Therefore, his faith was always increasing, seeing how Krishna was controlling everything. So when his father came to him and said, you know, where do you get your power from? So he said, the same one person you're getting your power from. It's all coming from the same source, from God. So of course, Hiranyakashipu, he didn't appreciate it, but he got direct realization by the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj that it was coming from God. Because God did come and prove Prahlad's point, and Hiranyakashipu eventually became convinced. So that's the mercy of a devotee. He's very convincing. Even if you don't agree with him, God will come and convince you himself personally. So the point is that we're not the doer, and that although now we're in material consciousness and therefore we become disturbed in different circumstances, actually we're always disturbed, but sometimes we're less disturbed and sometimes more disturbed. But if we continue on with our Krishna conscious activities, try to surrender to Krishna, then Krishna within our heart, he understands our sincerity and he changes our consciousness. That's all that he really wants to change. This merging of the elements doesn't mean that Dhritarashtra sat there and suddenly his body started to dissolve. You know, all right, here is the earth, and suddenly, you know, there was no earth left in his body. And look, Mom, he's just full of air. And then he did, look, it's just ether. There's something. No. Merging was separating the consciousness from these elements. Just like now, this body is made of exactly the same elements as the floor was sitting on. There's earth, there's water, there's fire. Earth, in the sense, is solid elements, just like the floor is solid. There is fire in the floor, because if the floor didn't have any fire, it would be absolute zero. You touch the floor, your hand would stick to it. I guess at absolute zero, they say everything burns. See, just like, what is that? Dry ice. It's so cold, it burns. If there was no fire on the floor, you'd touch your hand to the floor, and it'd burn. And there's obviously air on the floor. And there, how do we know there's air? Because air keeps things together, or moving. Water keeps things together. Air keeps things moving. Therefore, the electrons, whatever the conception is, but it's changing the floor. Not only through the element of time, but through the element of air. And there is ether, because the floor takes that space. So exactly the same thing is that our body's made of. It looks a little different from the floor, but there's not really any difference. It's just a different form of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And because the soul is there, desiring a certain way, therefore there's a certain arrangement of the body which is different from the floor, that it looks like it's doing something. It's a little bit more flexible than the floor, etc. But ultimately, it's only because Krishna has arranged it to fulfill the desire of the soul. But he's done the same thing, that's why there's a floor here. I mean, it's just... In other words, it's all Krishna's arrangement, and there's a certain material arrangement that we fit into in the material world, in the form of a body, in different circumstances, all arranged by Krishna. But the whole thing here is just a combination of earth, water, fire, and air. And then for the soul, he's surrounded by mind, intelligence, and false ego. So, to realize that we're not this material part of the material world is the beginning. Intelligence. That my body is not me. It's out of the same elements that the material world is made of. And then the mind is a little bit more tricky. Now, how do I know I'm not my desires? Because I have so many desires. Well, then that's difficult. That's why yoga is not so easy. Jnana yoga. They have to go through great discipline. They have to clear their minds of any other desire than to realize who they are. Even when they feel hunger, they have to control it. Even when they feel sleepy, they have to control it. They have to use their intelligence and separate soul from their minds and intelligence. So it is very difficult because we're very much used to identifying ourselves with our conception of life. I am this body. I am this mind. If I don't satisfy my senses, I'm going to suffer. I'm going, so many things. And we will suffer, because we're always suffering. So don't worry about suffering. We're going to suffer forever in the material world. As long as we're here, we're going to suffer to different degrees. Then, to merge the mind don't identify with the mind by proper use of intelligence, and ultimately not to identify with the intelligence either. Understand that the intelligence comes from the super soul. That's liberation. We, with our intelligence, we can rise up to the platform of understanding the difference between ourself and the body. But unless our intelligence is fixed on the Supreme Person, we can't become liberated. We have to go beyond identifying with our conception of life also. That I'm so intelligent, I'm so bright, so many bright ideas come to me, I'm practically a genius like that. But that's all coming from Krishna. To see that Krishna is the doer, and that everyone is simply one little tiny soul, either correctly desiring or bewildering one's desires. That's all. There's nothing else that's going on here. And only when we take shelter of Krishna, the super soul leaves, then we become liberated. But here there's something beyond that. There's the aspect of devotional service, that after liberation, there's actual life. So Dadichi is giving up his body, Vritrasura giving up his body, Prikshamara is giving up their bodies. They're already engaged in devotional service. For them, there is no real difference. But for us, we have to give up our body, not by killing the body, because Krishna doesn't want us to kill the body, not to starve the body, not to go through a great process of Jnana Yoga. Krishna is not recommending that at all in this age. He's only recommending Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Kantyarnita. That's the only thing he's recommending, is chant the holy name without any offense. That much we should desire to do, to learn how to chant Hare Krishna offenselessly. That our, we surrender our body to engage in the Sankirtan mission, that will help us chant without offense when the body is engaged in the Sankirtan movement. Then we'll realize it's not my body gradually, I'm an instrument. The more we utilize the body as an instrument, then the more when we chant Hare Krishna, hopefully we're at least when we're chanting our rounds. If not, if we don't come before we come to the platform, always chanting Hare Krishna, always engaged in that mood of devotion, then we'll be able to chant less offenselessly, more with devotion. Then we'll be an instrument when we're chanting, an instrument of devotion for Krishna. It'll give us the intelligence. It'll give us the intelligence in any stage, any moment, not only when we put our bead bag in our hand. The Supreme Lord wakes up and gives us intelligence. He's trying to give us intelligence at every moment, how to make every moment we surrender to Krishna and become his instrument. Allow him to utilize his body, his mind, his words in his service, and therefore we're engage us in his service, in his loving service. Therefore, while we're in this body, we die by, we leave the body by leaving our material concept of life. And if we don't leave it in this body, then we'll get another body, and we'll have to do the same thing in another body, that's all. Whether we do it immediately, we do it in a million years, we'd never do it, that's up to us. It's not that I look at my horoscope, I'm going to go through a bad period. Well, tell me who's going through a good period. And if they are going through a good period, what's the value of the good period if they're not in Krishna consciousness? That's just, they're just preparing themselves for another bad period. Therefore, good, bad, it makes no difference if we're trying to do something for Krishna. Of course, we shouldn't. We should just accept what comes as best we can. But the important thing, by the mercy of Prabhupada, the mercy of the disciple succession, we should just try to do something to become Krishna conscious, the simple program that Prabhupada gave us, and try to understand it and put it into effect the best we can, according to our capacity, and then try to help others do the same thing to the best of our capacity. And then if Krishna sees that, he'll give us more and more intelligence. And even the maximum intelligence that Prabhupada had, maximum empowerment, it doesn't mean that he acted as God. That everything he said, everyone did immediately. And therefore, if someone doesn't immediately obey when I say something in Krishna consciousness, that means there's something wrong with me. Or that I'm not empowered. Maybe. But ultimately, everyone has their free will. The best I can do is surrender. And if I surrender, then I'll understand how to help other people surrender too. Krishna will give that intelligence. And more than that, even if I understand everything perfectly, according to the intelligence Krishna gives me, that doesn't mean I'm going to become God. And even God doesn't interfere with anyone else. He lets things go on. He's the one who's manifesting the universe. He's the one who's fulfilling everyone's desire. So we shouldn't worry. The main thing we should worry about is where my consciousness is at. And part of that is to ask Krishna, what do you want me to do to help others also? What is your desire in this respect? How am I supposed to act? To become Krishna conscious and help others become Krishna conscious too. So that means that we have to stop before our minds, before our intelligence, give us our standard answer. We're already programmed. A standard answer. The only thing we're not programmed for, what we're trying to program, is to take a step back and ask, what does Krishna want me to do? And it's not that the first thing that comes to our mind is it has to be what Krishna wants me to do. No, we have to become thoughtful. We have to look at different angles, the situation from different angles sometimes. What Guru says, what Shastra says, what the devotees say, what Krishna is trying to tell me. Fit it all together. And then if I have the right attitude, if I'm actually in a devotional attitude, humble attitude, then Krishna will give us more intelligence. And then when that becomes clearer, then I'll know Krishna, I'll understand more perfectly because I have a humble attitude. And when it becomes clearer, then I'll know what to do. And if I do it with that attitude, what Krishna wants me to do, then I'll make progress in devotional service, whatever I do. And even if it turns out unsuccessful, not that Vritrasura, he fought against Indra, he was unsuccessful. Jatayu fought against Ravana, he was a failure. Couldn't get it together. No, they were actually successful because they became Krishna conscious. And if we judge success by who wins the fight, you know, Ravana was a world heavyweight champion, he defeated this bird. Came out successful. No, that's our material concept of success. So we have to change our conception of success. Then we'll know what success really is, and we'll charge for that rather than some mundane success, which will never be really successful. Anyhow, we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. All right.
Thank you for the very nice class, Marsh. My question is, this science of changing the body or leaving the body, it's repeated again and again in the scripture. We see so many examples of the Parikshit Maharaj leaving his body and, you know, so on. And in this case with the Rishi, what is this Rishi's name?
The Dichi.
I mean, it was just like, the way it's described is almost as if it's like going from one room to the next.
Yeah.
It was just like, okay, I'm ready to give up my body, take it.
Yeah.
So to me, that's very surprising. And your class is more or less, you know, emphasizing these things, but I wanted to ask in detail, that state of being so detached or being so fearless, to me, is just it's just incredible. It's amazing. And I was hoping you could comment on it a little more.
Yeah, pretty amazing to me too. Incredible. But that's the wonder of when one is actually spiritually awake and engaged in spiritual life. That in the beginning there's hearing about Krishna, which is called Shravana Dasa, the state of hearing. So that's what we're trying to do. And then Varna Dasa, hopefully we're accepting something that we're hearing and putting into practice. And as one does that, one comes to the stage of Smarana Vyavyasta, which means, and there are five stages of progressive Krishna Smarana, namely recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and samadhi. So at first, remembrance of Krishna is interrupted. Later it becomes steady and expands. And then it comes to the platform of always expanding, called anusmriti. And then it comes to the stage when one is perfectly absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And from that stage, one comes to the stage of sarup siddhi. One realizes his identity in relation to Krishna. So from bhava, one comes to the from Asakti, one comes to the Bhava platform. And then when that expands, one comes to the Prema platform, or at least intense Bhava. And material life seems like a dream. So now, spiritual life seems like a dream, and material life seems very real. But there's a stage when material life will seem like a dream, we're walking around in a dream, and the only spiritual life will seem real. But to do that, we have to come to purify goodness and by associating with Krishna 24 hours a day. Then material life will seem like a dream. Just like when you put an iron into the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then it becomes just like fire. So we have to become just as good as the deities. Anyone comes before the deities, they're always perfectly in Krishna consciousness. They never become disturbed. We never see Radha Kalachandri frown. You know, get this soul out of here. No, they see everything perfectly in Krishna consciousness. They're completely situated in pure goodness. And the more we associate with them, then the more we'll become good like they are. And when we become completely good, then we won't be disturbed. Then material life will seem, all the modes of nature will seem just like a dream. Just like we leave our gross body at night and we dream. It's not surprising to us that we've forgotten our gross body when we're dreaming. We do it every night. So So the idea, but we're just in a different dream, that's all. So spiritualized means we just leave this dream and enter into the reality. Instead of going to a deeper dream, we wake up from this dream. We find out who we really are. And we were even told, Pivaras Rupahoy, Krishna Nityadas. We're eternally, right now we're Krishna's servants. We'll always be Krishna's servants, but we're not serving very nicely. We just have to change our service attitude. Instead of serving Krishna as universal form, serve him directly through his devotees. Guru Sarva Shastra. And the super soul who's telling us what to do. Anything else? Yes?
The Dishimuni is devotee of the Lord. The Dasu was a devotee of the Lord. Why was he so willing to give his body to kill another devotee?
Because he knew that he was going to go back to the spiritual world. Krishna, first of all, obviously Krishna told him to do it. Someone who was in such perfect Krishna consciousness, demigods came, they told him to do it. And he, obviously, Krishna told him also. As a super soul in his heart, do it. And he didn't think he was going to kill a great devotee. He understood that there was a plan. Krishna undoubtedly gave him intelligence what his plan was. These sages, Krishna tells them whatever they have to do. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done it. Yes?
Am I remembering correctly that Dhritarashtra was Chitraketu, King Chitraketu, in a previous work?
Yes.
And he was cursed by Parvati?
Yes.
To take that body?
Yes. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharashman Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Yoguro.
Srila Prabhupada
Swami Maharaj ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktivarna ki jai.